All right, let's take our Bibles again and turn to Matthew 24 tonight, although this is not going to be a message about prophecy too much. But this will be a little different, but maybe it's just something we can touch on one time, and help. I don't think we're struggling with this subject, but I want to speak tonight on the three seasons of miracle workers. And give you some history here. Why should we even be interested in this? Well, the Bible says here in Matthew chapter 24, as it begins to describe the last days in this great prophecy message, in verse 5, it says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many," not a few, "shall deceive many." Verse 11, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." Verse 23, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Verse 5 says they'll deceive many. Verse 11, they'll deceive many. Verse 24, almost have the elect deceived. Verse 25, "Behold, I have told you before." When it comes to the last days, miracles and false prophets, Christ's doing signs and wonders will be very deceptive. A lot of people will be deceived. And then when you get into the book of Revelation, which is during mostly the tribulation period, Revelation chapter number 13 and verse 11 and 12 talks about the false prophet. "And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that worship therein to worship the beast," the first beast, "whose deadly wound was healed." Now listen to verse 13, "And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying that they should worship the image of the beast." Later in chapter number 16 and verse 14, "For they are," it talks about these spirits, unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon. That's the Antichrist, or the devil, and the mouth of the beast, that's the Antichrist, and the mouth of the false prophet, that's the one world religious leaders. "For they," verse 14, "are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them in the great day against Almighty God." And then chapter 19 tells us about their demise, these miracle workers in the last days. "And the beast was taken," verse 20, "and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and that had worshipped his image." There is a season of miracles coming up on earth. There is a season when many are going to be deceived. Many, it says many, are going to be deceived by false prophets, false Christ, and by signs and wonders, and by miracle workers. This unholy trinity of the devil and the false the Antichrist and the false prophet are going to do miracles. Unclean spirits are going to be doing miracles. And so I want to look at the three seasons of miracles, just show you when they were, how rare they were. Now, we believe, let me say from the start, we believe in miracles. We believe God does miracles all the time. We believe many could stand up in this room tonight and testify of the miracles that God has done for you. I am not talking about miracles tonight. I am talking about miracle workers. Miracle workers. And there have been three short seasons of miracle workers in biblical history. And everything else we should question. We should question because I think they set a model for us. The first season of miracle workers were Moses, Aaron, and Joshua. This miracle working season through these three human beings lasted about 40 years. From the years 1490 BC to 1451 BC. During that time, God did about 22 miracles through Moses, and we could include his partner Aaron, and then three through Joshua, who succeeded them in leading the children of Israel. Those miracles were: the rod was made a serpent. The rod was then restored from being a snake back to a rod. Moses' hand was made leprous when he put it in his coat and pulled it out. And then when he put it back in and took it out, it was clean. The water was turned into blood in Egypt. The river was turned into blood in Egypt. The land was covered with frogs and then taken away. The land of Egypt was covered with lice and then taken away. The land of Egypt was covered with flies and then taken away. There was a murrain or a death to all the beasts, the cattle, among the Egyptians, but not among those cattle and animals that belonged to the Jews. And this was all by the declaration of Moses and Aaron. There were boils that covered the Egyptians' bodies, but not the Jews. There was hail that rained upon the Egyptians and destroyed all their crops, but not the Jews. There were locusts that filled the land and ate whatever crops survived the hail, but not upon the Jews' crops. There was darkness over all of Egypt, where the Egyptians were, but not upon the Jews. And that was for 3 days. And then, of course, the firstborn died. And all these were by the hands of Moses and Aaron. Of course, we know God working in and through them. They were miracle workers. And then as they left Egypt and began to go towards the promised land, they saw many more miracles. They saw the sea divided, and the millions of Israel went across the Red Sea on dry ground. And then they saw the sea come back and overwhelm the Egyptian armies and Pharaoh and his chariots, and they all died. The waters were sweetened that were poisoned when they threw a tree into the waters. Perhaps a picture of Calvary's tree and how we're poisoned with death. And when Calvary is brought into our lives, we are made alive. The waters from the rock, when Moses struck the rock, we believe again being a picture of Christ being stricken once and forthwith coming from Christ's living waters. Amalek was vanquished when Aaron and Hur held up the arms of Moses on the mountain and Joshua fit the battle and beat back Amalek. And then we saw the destruction of Korah and his family and how the earth literally split open and their families fell in. And water from the rock in Kadesh. And then, of course, the miracle of the brazen serpent out in the wilderness where they fashioned a brazen serpent and put it on a pole. And many that were dying from venomous poison that had bitten them because of their rebellion against God. And if they, as they were dying from that poison, looked up to the brazen serpent, they were made alive. That was a great miracle. And it was a picture of Christ on Calvary, according to John chapter number 3 and verse 14. And then Aaron's rod blossomed when all the other 11 rods of the other tribes did not blossom. And so these were all wrought by God, but through miracle workers named Moses and Aaron. Besides these miracles that were wrought by them, there was the miracle in the wilderness of the pillar of fire by night, which lasted 40 years. What a miracle. And the pillar of the cloud by day, which lasted 40 years. What a miracle. And the manna from heaven, which lasted 40 years. What a miracle. And their shoes and their clothes that did not wear out for 40 years. What a miracle. Now, why are these miracles in the Bible? Why are these miracles in the Bible? So that we can believe. So that we can believe. That's what the scripture says in the book of, we went through this, I think, last year, but I have a new Bible here. My old Bible fell apart this morning, and so I got to get it rebound. And if you've ever tried to work with a new Bible, you know exactly what I'm saying here. And it tells us here in John chapter number 7 and verse number 31, the purpose of miracles are basically twofold. So that first of all, we will believe initially. In John chapter number 7, verse 31, and many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? And many became believers, even Nicodemus became a believer. And he came to Jesus by night and said, no man can do the miracles you do except God be with him. So the purpose of miracles is so that we can believe initially and in the Lord and in the Lord's workers. And then in John chapter 11, verse 47, it tells us, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees and the council and said, what do we, for this man doeth many miracles? They silenced the critics of God. It's so that we can believe, but it silences the critics. Now, we weren't there to witness these things, but in Romans 10, verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we will read the Bible with a childlike spirit and read these miracles as though they really happened, they will help your faith in God. If we just read them like they're just fairy tales, or that's a nice story somebody stuck in the Bible, they won't have any effect on us. But when you get through these three seasons of miracle workers, you say to yourself, wow, can God do that? Can you imagine the things that we have mentioned already tonight? And then Moses and Aaron pass off the scene, and Joshua takes over, and there's three miracles in Joshua's life. God divides the Jordan River, so all the children of Israel can, for the second time, go across on dry ground, millions of them, into the land of Canaan. And then they get to Jericho, their first battle, and they obey God. They do what God says by Joshua's commandment, and the walls of Jericho fall down flat into the earth. And then a little later, perhaps one of the greatest miracles ever, through the prayers of a man, happens in Joshua chapter number 10. And it came to pass in verse 11, as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. And now listen to this. This ought to help the faith of every one of us here. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged them upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hastened not to go down upon about a whole day, and there was no day like that before or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel.
Now, boy, that ought to help our prayer lives, these miracles. And so you add the 22 and the 3 that Joshua were involved in. There's 25 miracles there during the first season of miracles. And then miracles stop almost completely. They stop almost completely until two men come on the scene. And we have the second season of miracle workers. And they are Elijah and Elijah. These begin in 1 Kings chapter 17 when Elijah just springs on the scene suddenly with no explanation. And he begins to pray to God, and God answers prayer in an amazing way in 910 B.C. all the way down through about 856 B.C. Again, a season of about 40 to 50 years of miracle workers, Elijah and Elijah. There are at least 7, maybe 8 miracles that God does through Elijah. And the first, of course, is the bringing of a drought by his prayer. This lasts 3.5 years. Can you imagine praying and stopping the rain for 3.5 years? So famous was this miracle that James would use it later in James chapter 5, an example to us to pray. And it would not rain. And during that time, ravens feed Elijah by the brook Cherish and bring bread to him and meat to him every morning and every night to feed him while he drinks from the brook Cherish. Now, Elijah didn't do that miracle. God did. But God did it for him. And if you can imagine that, that miracle may have lasted as long as 3 years. Now, if you know anything about ravens, they want to eat the bread and they want to eat the meat. They don't want to deliver it. But if you can imagine this happening every day for perhaps 3 years, at least 2 years, I don't know how long it took the brook to dry up, and then he was commanded to go see a widow who would help him. And that's where the meal and the oil was multiplied for the widow lady that he goes up to live with after the brook Cherish dries up and the ravens stop coming. And as long as he lived there, even though there was drought and famine everywhere else, there was meal in her house and oil in her house to sustain him and her and her child. Well, the child dies, but Elijah prays for the child, and the child is restored to life. One of the few times we have a resurrection from the dead in the Bible. And then, of course, comes the great battle against the prophets of Baal up on the mount. And there's 400 prophets of Baal and 450 other prophets, 850 against Elijah, and they make an altar. And the prophets of Baal and the other prophets start screaming and crying out to their God and cutting themselves, and blood's flying everywhere, and nothing happens. Elijah prays a 63-word prayer, takes the most precious commodity there was on earth at that time, water, and just drains and drains and drains and drains the altar and the sacrifice, so it's totally saturated with water. Then he prays, and the fire of God comes down, consumes the sacrifice, licks up all the water, and the people believe that Elijah's God is the Lord. Captains and men were slain by fire when Elijah was the prophet of Israel. And then the rain came back after 3.5 years, and he prayed again, the Bible says. And the rain came, and then, of course, the waters of Jordan divided as he was going on his circuit ministry, with the sons of the prophets, and he struck the Jordan River, and and he and the prophets went over on dry ground. 8 miracles by this miracle worker named Elijah. Well, he had a minister following him whose name was Elijah.
Elijah. And it came to pass, it says in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elijah, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And Elijah said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken away from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And so then Elijah is taken away in a chariot of fire and taken up into heaven. And Elijah now becomes the prophet of Israel. And he takes up the mantle that Elijah left and he strikes the Jordan River just like Elijah had. Elijah strikes the Jordan River and says, where is the God of Elijah? And the river divides again. And he and the sons of the prophet go over on dry ground. Another time, the waters are healed when he pours meal into some poisonous water. Mocking children are torn by bears when Elijah cursed them. The water is supplied for the armies. When armies went out to fight and there was no water, and they said, what good is a military without water? And he said, dig ditches. And they dug ditches and God supplied water. The widow's oil was multiplied until the vessels were all filled up. It was miraculous. And then she began to pour out the oil. She was in so much debt that they were going to come and take her children. And they borrowed vessels, not a few, and the oil was filled, and the oil didn't stop until they ran out of vessels. And then she sold the oil and lived on it. The pottage was rendered harmless after they had shredded some wild gourds and the sons of the prophet, and then it was healed. The loaves were multiplied so that 100 people could be fed when they only had a few loaves, a little picture of what Christ would do later. When he fed 5,000 and 4,000. A child was raised to life from the dead by Elijah as well as Elijah. Naaman was healed of leprosy. Gehazi was struck with leprosy. The iron was caused to swim as they were chopping down a tree and the axe head flew off and went into the water. And the sons of the prophet said, alas, it was borrowed. Elijah made the iron swim. That's kind of contrary to nature. That's what a miracle is, when God overrides the very laws of nature that he wrote. He wrote the laws of nature and he can override them. Yeah. Just wait till the rapture when we all defy gravity. We fly out of here and go to be with the Lord. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. The Syrians are smitten. And what a great miracle that was, as Elijah tells the king of Syria, the words that he spoke in his bedchamber. And he was able to tell the words, and the young man's eyes are opened to see the hills just filled with the chariots of fire of the Lord. And Elijah says, don't worry about the Syrians out there. There's more that are for us than against us. And God allows the young man's eyes to see all the chariots of the Lord, the angels of God, all over the hills. What a miracle that was. Elijah tells the king of Israel's messengers coming to his door before it happens. He says, there's going to be some messengers coming to the door. When they get there, hold them, and I'll come out and we'll address them. And the conception, by the way, of the Shunammite, I passed over that. Now, folks, if I counted those right, that's 16 miracles. Elijah had 8. What did Elijah ask for? He asked for a double portion of the Spirit of God upon him. And what a season that was of miracle workers. Boy, that must have been something, but it was unique. I want you to understand, miracle workers have been unique in Christian history. Why? Because there's going to be a lot of deception pretty soon. A lot of deceptions pretty soon. The last season, The third season also lasted about 40 years. And that was led by Christ and his apostles. Christ and the apostolic age probably lasted more than 40 years. But of course, Jesus Christ was a miracle worker. And because of his miracle working, many believed in him. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts, chapter number 2 and verse 22, about our precious Lord. And this is something I tried to teach last year. Chapter 2 and verse 22, it says, "Ye men of Israel," as Peter's preaching on Pentecost, "hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him hath he determined," and then it talks about his crucifixion and his resurrection. He preaches the gospel. But Peter, in his argument on the day of Pentecost, brought miracles into the argument. And he said he was a man approved by God among you by the miracles that he did. You should believe him. You should believe him. And I've taught us that if you're in a conversation and you're trying to help somebody who's skeptical, bring up, what about the miracles of Christ? What about the claims of Christ? What about the prophecies of Christ? What about the resurrection of Christ? I was reading the book of Acts this afternoon at home, and all the preaching in the book of Acts, they bring up the resurrection, the resurrection, the resurrection, the resurrection, the resurrection. We try to fight with evolutionists over fossils. Bring up the resurrection to the evolutionists. What about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? "Oh, I don't think it happened." Can you prove it? A lot of people have tried, nobody has, that it didn't work. In fact, a lot of people who've investigated have become strong believers in Christ as one of the most established miracles of all time by many infallible proofs. And throughout the book of Acts, they preach the resurrection. We need to bring up the resurrection, not try to fight and argue with people about, well, what about this religion and this religion, this philosophy, and what about the resurrection of Christ from the dead? And he was a man approved of God by his miracles and signs and wonders. He changed the water into wine. He healed the nobleman's son. He brought the draught of fishes to fishermen who had toiled all night and caught nothing. He healed a demoniac in the synagogue. Peter's mother-in-law was healed. He cleansed the leper. He cleansed the paralytic. He cleansed an impotent man. He healed a man who was impotent, and another man who had a withered hand. He made his hand restored. And the centurion's servant he raised from the dead. He raised the widow's son and Nain from the dead. He cast out the demons, thousands of demons from a particular demoniac. There were actually two, but one of them, it says thousands of pigs went down into the sea and drowned themselves because of the demons that were in him. He stilled the tempest. And he helped raise Lazarus' daughter from the dead. He healed the woman with an issue of blood, and he healed a blind man and another demoniac. He fed 5,000. He walked on the water. He healed the daughter of the Syrophoenician who had an issue of blood, and he fed another 4,000. And a deaf and dumb man was healed. A blind man was healed. A lunatic child was healed. He found the tribute money inside the mouth of a fish when he told Peter to go down, throw your hook in, and you'll catch a fish, and you'll find money in there for your taxes and mine. 10 lepers he healed. One turned back and thanked him. He healed another blind man. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He heals a woman with the spirit of infirmity, a man with the dropsy, a blind man. He cursed the fig tree and it died. He healed Malchus's ear. And then there was a second draught of fishes. And then, of course, his resurrection and his appearing to his disciples. Now, those are the specific miracles of Christ. 37 of them. Did you get them down, or do you want me to repeat them? You know where I get all this stuff from? The Thompson Chain Reference Bible. All right? Sounds like I really studied this week. And it's all just right there. Just go to miracles and list all the three seasons and all the miracle workers.
the 70 that went out, and these are the specific miracles, and then there's all kinds of general miracles. But besides Christ, Peter saw the lame man cured at the temple. And boy, did that bring about a revival in Acts chapter 3 when he got saved, when he got healed, about 5,000 people got saved because of that miracle. Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead right in the presence of Peter. The sick were healed. Aeneas was healed. Dorcas was raised from the dead by Peter. Paul, Elymas was blinded because of his persecution of Christian witnesses. A lame man was cured. A damsel with the spirit of divination was healed. Eutychus was restored to life after he fell asleep on a Sunday night service and fell out of the third loft. A viper bites Paul and does not have any effect on him. The father of Publius, who saw this miracle, was healed, and a great revival took place on that island. And then it tells us many other special miracles were done by Paul. Now, these are the specific miracles. And then there's other general miracles because of the apostolic age would be a time when God would allow the church for a short season before the completion of the revelation of the Word of God to prove their preaching by signs, miracles, and wonders. He would confirm the word with signs following. So there's a lot of miracles during these times. But the totals of specific miracles are Moses 22, Joshua 3, Elijah 7, Elijah 16, Jesus 37, Peter 5, Paul 7. I'm sorry, Elijah was 8. Bringing a total of 98 specific miracles by miracle workers listed during these three seasons, which all lasted about 40 years, and everyone without exception was a Jew. The only miracle workers were Jews. Now, why would that be? Well, God loves Israel. But it says the Jews require a sign. So God gave 98 plus a whole bunch of general other ones. And still they didn't believe. Some did, but most did not. They were all Jews, every single one. So as I see these patterns, and as we kind of close here, as I see these patterns, I want you to be careful about these people who claim to be miracle workers. And I can remember a lot of them in the 60s and 70s, and they were all over the television claiming to do miracles, and that so many of them were proven to be a farce. It was really embarrassing to the body of Christ in those days, some of the things that they claimed and some of the ways they went about trying to fabricate miracles and so on, and the way they have lived, even to this day, some of them. Oh my. But there you have it. The miracle workers were Moses, Aaron, and Joshua. Elijah, Jesus, and his apostles. And some, it says, had the gift of being miracle workers in the first century church. You'll actually read about the gift of miracles three times in the book of 1 Corinthians. And chapter 12 and verse 10, verse 28 and 29. But the next chapter, chapter 13, said that those would be temporary things which would not be needed anymore to confirm the Word of God once the perfect Word of God was finished. And then the only thing that is needed now, the only person that's needed now to confirm the Word of God is the Holy Spirit. I have been in Christ for 52 years. I've learned a lot. I got a lot more to learn. But never once have I needed anyone to show me signs and miracles or wonders to be a believer. Amen. We live by faith. And the Holy Spirit now comes along and says, this is what that means. Let me show you what God has to say. And day after day after day, he teaches us. Amen. Without any need
of signs, miracles, and wonders. And then we are warned about this kind of activity in the last days. Many shall be deceived. They're almost going to deceive the elect. It's going to be so amazing, some of the things they do. And then the miracles in the Revelation are all done by false prophets, by demons, by the dragon, by the beast, by the false prophet. And we need to be warned of those. Because there's still stuff all out there on the internet and YouTube and so on and so forth, just drawing these people in. Just drawing these people in. And I wanted to just bring one message one time about this here, so that we would see it. There's many verses here, and I'm not going to take time to read them, where it says the Jews require a sign. Show us a sign. Show us a sign. Show us. After all these miracles, they would walk up to him and say, "Show us a sign." And he'd say, "No more, except for the sign of Jonas. For as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, even so shall the Son of Man be in the belly of earth for 3 days and three nights. But I'm going to rise from the dead. That's going to be the last sign I give you." And they didn't believe. What should we do? When you're reading the Bible and you come across these 98 miracles, and there are the rare exception out of the box, like Samuel when he called down thunder and rain. He was a Jew. The prophet of Judah, when Jeroboam's hand withered and the altar was rent and the ashes poured out and then his hand was restored. There's few rare exceptions outside of these three seasons. God does that sometimes, so we don't put him in a box. He does something so out of the ordinary. But they were Jews too. So what kind of conclusion should I make when I study this out in the scriptures? Now, do we believe in miracles? Do we believe we can pray for people and see miracles? All the time. All the time we see miracles. I think every one of you is a miracle. Except, no, I'm just kidding. But just your bodies, just the way we're made, and just the fact that we, you know, I was telling them up at Countryside this morning. I just talked about prayer stories from my life, from others. And I said, let me close by telling you the greatest prayer I ever got answered when I was 12 years old. And I said, "Jesus, would you please save me?" And the Lord saved me. And 52 years later, that miracle is still going on. I'm so glad to be saved. And I hope you are. Well, I don't know what help this was to you tonight. But I just maybe a little bit of preventative doctrine. Because who knows what's coming? And who knows who the next great televangelist will be who's going to deceive hundreds and thousands of people. Man, I was on looking up some of the mansions some of these people live in. Almost makes me want to throw up. The stuff they own, the mansions they live in. One of them, I won't tell you who she is. She's got mansions all over America. She's got a jet that's worth millions of dollars. Just her and her husband live in these mansions, and the one of them it's like a rectangle, amazing mansion, and every corner of the rectangle she has a pool, an in-ground swimming pool. And people to this day listen to her on television and radio. And poor people send her millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars because of the promises she makes to them. I don't think God wants us to be deceived by this kind of stuff. So let us pray. Father, we do thank you for Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, we have to be careful in this. We thank you that you're a God of miracles, that there is nothing too hard for thee. And we believe in miracles. We believe we've seen people heal. We've seen people save. We've seen doors open that no man can close, and so on. And people get just amazing things happen for them, unexplainable, almost unbelievable. But Lord, help us to differentiate between that and miracle workers. And we thank you. We live in a day and age when we don't need signs and miracles and wonders to confirm the word. We have thy Holy Ghost. We have faith. And we are blessed. For Jesus said, blessed are they which have not seen and yet believe. And so, Lord, help us. Bless this message. And we just pray with a little knowledge and understanding you would keep us and prevent us from being deceived with whatever is coming in the future. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.